right over here in Seattle. Had a crushed pelvis. My spine was separated from the pelvis. Broken back. Shattered elbow. I was a mess, to say the least. All the tendons through here had shredded. This hip had moved 6 inches. But on the fourth night in the hospital, because on the third day they did the surgery, 26 pins and screws. And the doctors told my wife, if he was to ever walk again, he'll be crippled the rest of his life. I'm about ready to run, but there's not enough room. I could probably get right down that aisle there. But on the fourth night, Jesus showed up in that room, and this is what he said. Because when I was going off, the devil said, I'm going to kill you and you'll never preach again. He hates preachers. You know what? He just doesn't like you. So get over it. Get over that complex right now. Amen. Just get over that. That's okay. But Jesus showed up and he said this. He said, I'll raise you up again and you'll continue to be my mouthpiece. 12 weeks I was standing back in the pulpit preaching the Word of God. I was supposed to be in that body cast for 6 months. But in 7 weeks I came out of that, 11 weeks I stood, and 12 weeks standing here in this pulpit preaching the Word of God again. You know what? God is a radical God. Come on now. God. Now some of you know what I'm talking about tonight. For the devil to win, what happens is good men do nothing. But for him to lose, is that we who understand and have the revelation, we don't take any of his lip. And we don't take any of his stuff that he would throw at us. Because God wants us to understand, and this man that's about to step into this pulpit tonight understands, and he said, if it's all right tonight, he said, I'm going to be preaching on the fire of God. And I said, brother, preach away. Because if the fire of God comes, he's going to burn some stuff out of us that doesn't need to be there. So that the anointing could fill us up a little bit more than what we have need for. Amen? Because we're lacking in that area. And that's why he's coming tonight. And I thank God for a man that will stand. He's a preacher. Uncompromising. Doesn't back up. Doesn't take anything off the devil. But tonight I want us to welcome Brother David Hogan. And he's going to come and preach to us tonight. Amen. Give the Lord a praise tonight in this house.
Everybody all right? Thank you. Now then, I need y'all to stand back up. I honestly really appreciate, because we have sought the Lord my whole life. I mean, we really have. We are not going to back away. Too old for that now. But it's Jesus. It's all Jesus. Let's give it to him, please. Great, Holy Ghost. Thank you. Please be seated and grab your Bibles. I was going to bring Miss Hogan, but something interrupted it. My youngest daughter is getting married on the 1st of August. So I had to leave her back to help her. Of course, she probably don't understand, but who cares? I don't. That girl's going to be taken care of. Holy Ghost, how y'all? Good? My son-in-law, y'all remember him, Sean Williamson, he's here, though. Stand up, Brother Sean, say hello. Thank you. If y'all have any bandanas or rags or anything, come on, bring them down here. I don't know if you do or not. I don't know what y'all do, but if you do, bring them down here right now. Because we're going to pray over them in a minute, if there is any. Because there's been thousands of miracles by rags and handkerchiefs and Jesus' name, and articles of clothing and shoes and hats and every kind of other thing. Now I'm going to pour oil on this stuff. And if you don't want oil on it, don't bring it down here. But it's not my responsibility to remember whose is what. Holy Ghost. It's my responsibility to walk in the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Jesus. Jesus. Fire hat. Jesus. Lorinda la baka ta 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 le bo sho to to to. Y'all hot up there in the balcony? Yeah, it's hot down here too. I guess y'all just trying to make us feel at home. This is like our services in Mexico. Holy Ghost. I see Lot's shoes going to get oil on them. You got some good stinky oil, I hope. We'll load them up. Holy Ghost. Y'all trying to take my spot. What y'all come for? I know y'all done been there and done that. Problem is, you shouldn't have left. I didn't. Man, we're going to sell some shoes. You don't feel. I wonder if any of them fit me. Holy Ghost. Kurenda la bosho te te te. The dead are raised where I come from. The blind see. The lame walk. The gospel is preached to the poor. Jesus is King. Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. 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 Holy Ghost. I was over yonder in Michigan a couple of days ago and preaching, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me about this service, talked about fire, and I always start out on the heavy side of things. It's because I mean it. I'm here to do something for you. I want to impress you. I want you to understand that God, you know, you... It's amazing to me how you Americans come and go, and you think you're all right to do that in the anointing and God's mercy and His grace, and you're looking for new trails and new things. And if you'd just be calm and stay on the same trail, you'd find every living thing you're looking for. You don't have to pick up, move, and go look because it sounds like it's better running up, water's rushing over here. Ain't nothing right about that. I'm a mule riding preacher. Figured that out a few years ago. And I ride mules in Mexico in the villages that don't have the gospel. There's never been anybody there to say that Jesus is King. And that's what I do for a living. And I like it. But heaven's opened up the windows. Now, I want you to be impressed. You're going to be. Heaven brought me off the back of that mule and took me up here into America the last few months. I've been preaching up here. There's been some fairly powerful things going on. I left the back of that mule. I landed in the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. You're looking at the first preacher to preach 3 hours straight in the Pentagon in the history of our nation. Pretty nice. I called him up because I didn't want to be disrespectful to our nation or to be a bad influence or a bad mark on the church. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to go about going up in there amongst those powerful folks. Didn't know what they were expecting, and I didn't know what God wanted me to do. So I was pretty much straight faith. So I called him up, and I asked him. My phone out there in that little old truck out there, it says right on there, Pentagon. I bet you ain't got it. You know, and that doesn't make me feel important or an authority. That humbles me like you can't believe that God would raise me up amongst one of the top 5 poorest people in the world and then place me in one of the most powerful houses of power that are currently contemporary in our generation. And let me preach the fire of God's mercy. Amazing, huh? Amazing, amazing. Next day, a sergeant, a Marine, called me back on the telephone. I mean, this is amazing. Hello? This here's the Pentagon of the United States of America. This is Sergeant so-and-so. I didn't know it was a salute. You wouldn't have either. Here's what he said. Brother Hogan, you are on the docket. and they. That's all you ever get. They want you to be who you are in Jesus. You come in your boots, and you come in your blue jeans, and you'll do fine. Wow. So we did. We went. This boy here went. My wife went. We went up in there. They gave me a credential. Him too. We went. They carried us through. Then they carried us down this wing. It's a corridor. I don't know where we was at. I have no idea. And then they stopped and they told me, we want you to go in this office and pray. It was the Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld's office. My, my, my. You can do and say what you want to. You can believe the lies, the compromise, the deception. You hear it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week if you got the TV on. The liberal lying demon. He not only is trying to take this nation down, he wants the church stopped. This nation gives more money to missions and to influence the gospel than any other nation. You've got to be stopped. But I'm here to encourage you. Spend your time on the mule's back and you can walk in the power like you've never understood. You don't even really know it's there. We all do believe it to some degree. But when you're walking down them corridors and everybody you meet has no less than 2 stars on their shoulders, you have gotten somewhere. Amazing, huh? What's it like to stand in Donald Rumsfeld's office? I'll tell you what it's like. Watch. I'll show you. Okay? You good? Watch. Here's what it's like. Shikata likete ne shikate. That's what it's like. Brother David, who got you in there? Don't know. I asked 3 or 4 times and all I got was they. We left the Pentagon and we went, I had 2 or 3 hours off, and then went to a service. There was 400 or 500 folks there. Place was packed out. The church, there was 7 or 8 churches cooperating. It was an amazing service. It was pretty fun. It was there in Washington. The people that were there were ranks. I met some lieutenant colonels, major generals, people who are liaison secretaries for the Joint Chiefs. And they were sitting and listening to the gospel. Subdirector of the CIA runs all the American schools in the world. And the subdirector for the FBI, both were catching in the prayer line. I'm looking at one of the smartest men I'll ever meet. I know that subdirector of the CIA. And he's just looking at me with his jaw on it. He said, I've never seen anything like this. I said, just hang around. It's going to light up. It'll get better. How can God take you? Now see, that's the whole issue, isn't it? You go 9 to 5, you've been doing it for years, you're tired, you live in your little yuppie neighborhood, you found out that that ain't working. You so bad wanted that goal, there's a particular lifestyle, you wanted it. You sought after it and you attained it. What you got? You're just as much a deadbeat as you was before. And I don't mean that in a bad way. We're going to fix it. You hear me? Because it's fire of God you're looking for. Because most of you in here speak in new tongues. But you don't walk in the fire of God. I'm a very blessed, fortunate fellow. I can't tell you, I was up at the furthest point north of the United States in Maine the other day preaching. I was preaching in a hand-built log cabin church. And a moose went by. I was talking and a moose went by out there. Serious. Down in the swamp in Louisiana. 8 people go to that church. Jesus did too. So you got to learn something. Everybody wants the big. You get the big going through little. You don't bypass little to get big. You got to be content. I'm happy to be here right now. My son-in-law and myself got up this morning at 3:30 Central Time. That would be 1:30 your time. We rode all day in a jet to get here. So we could be perky for you. Two days ago, we drove all night. 1,000 miles to get down to where my wife was. Spent 2 days with her, now we're over here. You got to know how to work. You got to know. The other day my wife got tired on me. She just flat looked at me and said, "I ain't going no more." I said, "You don't have any choice." See, you think you have a choice. I know you don't. Do you or do you not want people born again? Take your choice away, you work for Jesus, and they'll get born again. You believe in yourself and your choice, and you will forever be mad at the one that's doing something. Can I have a drink of this water right here? So I told her, "Miss Hogan, you're a blessing and you always have been. Hush and get in the truck." I said, "On the way to church, let me spell it for you. W-O-R-K. And I intend for every letter to be hung on my backside. Till it drags me down into the dirt. So souls. I'm here for souls. There's an easier way to get money and it's a little cooler than this. I'm a blessed man. I can't get over it. I was over in a swamp in Louisiana. That's where I'm originally from, Louisiana. And turn over to Luke 3. I want you to see Jesus' opinion and John the Baptist's opinion. And I drove up in my four-wheel drive. I have this little puny thing sitting out here. It's rented. I'm sorry. I had to leave my big one down yonder to get here on time tonight. I walked in there. It was myself, my wife, and my youngest boy that's at home. He's the oldest one at home. Luis. Y'all remember him, right? Luis Alberto, Maikache Indian, Guatemala, my son. Good boy. In Jesus' name. And pastor's waiting on me in that building. He walked straight up to me. He never even said hello or nothing. Why are you here? I said, excuse me? Why are you here? So I took a step backwards. See, I'm from that part of the world. Smart man take one step backwards and look. And reach in his pocket for his knife. You know, there's something coming you might need that knife for. I said, look here. It don't matter to me. I'll get right back in that truck and leave. I need a couple of days off to go white perch fishing. I said, why are you bothering me? He said, Brother David, now what? This is important. You hear me? I said, this is important. God's watching. God's listening. I said, you sent me an invitation. He said, yeah, but why'd you accept? I said, because God said, come here. Now, if you don't want the prophet of God, I'm good. I definitely could use 48 hours of rest before I start the next conference. He said, Brother David, we don't have any people. There's 8 people that go to this church. 8. I said, okay, next problem. He said, well, we don't have any money. I said, okay, next. He said, we can't give you money and I can't provide no people. I said, heaven sent me here. I said, now, did I ask you for anything? He said, no. I said, I asked you how many people's in your church? He said, no. I said, did I set an amount of money for coming here? He said, no. I said, won't you let me worry about that? I said, God sent me here. He'll send me somewhere else. Got a little money, and they'll give it to me in a minute and make up your slack. It'll be all right. Don't worry about it, little brother. But if you want me to get in that truck, I'll leave. Miss Hogan don't mind a night off. We'll just have a honeymoon. He said, no. Sure enough, that house filled up. I don't know where those people came from. But the place was just packed. And there was a couple things happened that you'd be interested in, I think. There's a fella. Wouldn't shut up. Irritating fella. I'm used to being heckled. witch doctors ring our services nearly every time we go to church, chant, curse us. Somebody used to those things. You know, that's part of it. Y'all aren't. You ain't got the devil mad enough yet. You're too busy compromising it with the Starbucks crowd.
Woo!
I'm on fire. I ain't even started preaching about it yet. We can stop right here and have ourselves fun. But there's a couple of verses I want to read first. That's all right. If there was a man, he wouldn't hush. Couldn't understand him because he was twisted, see? He was mangled, see? I don't know what he was saying to me because his body was twisted up. And he was drooling. Talking to me the whole time, he wouldn't shut up. Irritating fella. I finally got through talking and told them people beside him, bring me that man. I want him right now. I've been to hush him up. And they brought him up there. He's standing in the line, looking at me. They're holding him. He can't walk. He had 2 strokes in 4 weeks. He was completely destroyed mentally. And he had no faculties. And that's something. And I'm standing there looking at him. He's drooling all over the place. Just looking at him. And he's talking to me. He's trying to relate. So I can't understand him. So I related to him what I know. The fire of heaven. I touched that man and God hit that man. Them people that were holding him, all of them got knocked out. Boom. Finally, he shut up because he was knocked out. He came back too a couple hours later. We was leaving. And we're sitting there watching him, all of us, because he was bent and they was holding him. And he was still talking now. As soon as he found me, he started again. And then right in front of our eyes, in a church of 8 people, 8 members, there was a lot more people, 8 members, no money, in a swamp. If I told you where it was at, you couldn't find it. That man was just staring at me, and all of a sudden, hello, Brother David. Fire! All the next day, the second day, he was at their hospital in Alexandria. They couldn't find a problem with him, and so they had to release him. He come walking in the back door with a whole crowd of people, and he started talking as soon as he saw me. And he didn't shut up the whole service. But at least this time we understood him. He was praising Jesus. You must get this inside of you. I'm fixing to light up on you. I'm not mad at you. I'm not an authority. I'm a fellow that rides a mule and gets people born again that have worshipped the devil for 3,000 years. I'm a soldier. He brought his friend. to the second service. His friend was sitting right beside him whenever I saw him for the first time. He was a fellow that had these big knots on every one of his joints. And he was twisted up. And he walked up to me like this with rheumatoid arthritis. I grabbed him by the neck, smiled at him right before I hit him. Hit him right in the chest. Hard. Heaven went ahead and finished the lick. And when he got up, healed. Rheumatoid arthritis. Luke 3:15, very important verse, a lot of people preach on it. I do every now and then. I'm not after this part. See, what I do, I try to do, is keep myself in suspense. Is Amplified okay? Suspense and expecting is how I try to keep myself personally. I get to see every night I get to preach, and I get to see miracles every night of my life. I'm a very fortunate fellow. In the Pentagon, bodies thrown all over doors, open people walking by. Nobody cared. Jesus was there. Directors, sub-directors of all branches of our government. Next on the docket for us is the Congress. I'm going there and I'm there. Yeah. Hey. And you know what the subject is? Jesus. There's an open invitation for us. Guess where else? White House. There's a lots of people in power, high-ranking officials, that are adamant about seeking God the way you know how. They speak in tongues and they jump and dance in the presence of heaven. But yet they go up in Congress and they write your laws. I was showing Brother Sean a while ago on my telephone. I said, look at this. There's a congressman's telephone number that I can punch in at any time, 24 hours, and he'll answer. He is a lawmaker current now that leads a group of tongue-talking, Holy Ghost-filled congressmen. You need to know this. It's important for your spirit. Times are rough. The demon is spraying bile and garbage. But it's a false front. It's a lie. Jesus is king. I met with a preacher the other day. I asked him for counsel about going to the Pentagon before we did it. He said, I can't think of a man that I'd rather send. David, I said, but I'm not gifted. I'm not an orator. I'm not a man of influence and wealth. I'm a soldier. He said, that's who they need to hear from. Because you have courage and a backbone. Made sense. Then he began to tell me, he said, Brother David, this is going to bless you. Brother David, the President of the United States of America won't sign a bill into law without me and a couple of other preachers sitting in the next room speaking in tongues for him. Now, I'm giving y'all some information. It's because I got some. You don't have the right Your level of influence and sphere of life is important to God as anybody breathing on this planet. You hear me? You keep yourself in suspense. You keep yourself in expectancy of what God wants to do. 16, John said to him, I baptize you with water, but there's one mightier than I coming, the strap of whose sandals I'm not fit to unloose. He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and... You have stopped at the and. Well, I'm here to crank your motor up. God's got a job for you. There's no way of telling where it'll take you. Had you told me 2 years ago I was going to the Pentagon, the White House, and Congress, I'd have laughed at you. That's just some of the places we're going. Leaving on the 13th of August, we'll be all over Europe, flying back to Brazil, the largest auditorium in Brazil. We'll be preaching to 10,000 Brazilian pastors. You listening to me? I'm telling you stuff that's phenomenal. I can't tell you all of the next thing, but I'm going to tell you some of it. There's a possibility of a great revival starting. There's 7 war nations of Muslim background that are at war with Christianity. God has organized. God. Did you hear what I just said to you? God has organized a meeting of 7 war nations with 165 ex-Christian killers, fighters. They're now pastors. Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, Jordan, Libya. And we're meeting in a place they believe that the anointing God's put on Mexico to raise the dead is what's lacking in the church world for the Muslim revival. Could be. We're going to go see. What if God's raised you up for such an hour as this? And you're sitting, taking second and third best, when God's got reserved primary first class for you. You don't have to take your boots and jeans off. That's not the point. The point is to step into the suspense of the Holy Ghost fire. So how do you get into it? Thanks for asking. I found a way in. It's for everybody. We have implemented it in our work. It works. See, I'm here to impress you. Can you tell? You need to be impressed. You need to feel like heaven is on the ball. And that you're part of it. Because you are. And you're being lied to and fed garbage. And a lot of you are believing it. And you're diverting yourself off to second and third and fourth. You can't do that. I'm not here to ask you. You know I'm not that kind of preacher. I'm here to tell you. You will stand and you will straighten your shoulders. And you will fall on heaven's repentive power. And you'll step up a higher level, regardless of cost. That's what you will do. And you'll do it together. And you'll take the visions and callings of God and you'll multiply it into the power of mercy. And you won't let the devil talk you into losing. I was in a hospital in Tuscaloosa, Alabama a couple of months ago. I don't do house calls much anymore. Can't. Don't have time. I'm just preaching 2-3 times a day. It's hard to get around. Pastor herself asked me point blank, David, please. I said, I don't do that much anymore. Not out of Mexico. But David, it's necessary for my church. You the boss. You use the gift as you see fit. It's your fault if it goes wrong, not mine. I said, I'll take that responsibility. We walked in there. It's a black lady. Intensive care. I walked in, I looked at her. Family's there, everybody's weeping, you know. She was on her way home from church. She's one of those saints that the devil's hunting down to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus is hunting that you can have life. And have it in abundance. She was there with her back broken 3 places. On her way home from church, a devil drunk had run a red light and hit her. Just about killed her. She had worked for 29 years at that hospital. She was in her last year before retiring and being blessed and working full time in the church. And y'all got the story. And she got took out. Yeah, the man went to jail for 20-something years. Sure as the world turns. What good that do? He needs to be born again. And I looked at her and I reached over and touched her because she's in a halo. She can't move. She moves, she dies. You got it? You understand that, right? Family's weeping and she just cut her eyes over it. Tears started running down her cheek. I just reached over. Now, you listen to me. The difference. Because how many people in here can speak in tongues? Go ahead, raise your hands. It's all right. I bless you in Jesus' name. That's wonderful. But how many people in here are full of the fire of the Holy Ghost? Yeah. Laid my hands on her and touched her in Jesus' name. I'm just smiling at her. I'm glad I got the privilege to go touch her. Left. In less than 2 weeks, her back was welded back together and she's healed. Wow. Holy Ghost! How do we get it, right? That's the question, huh? Suspense. Expectation. Genesis chapter 19. We're going to get it. We start in the beginning. It works. What I'm fixing to tell you, it's going to make some of you mad. A couple of you leave. Personally, I'll be grateful when you do. Brother David, no, I'm not going to beg you. You need help? Help yourself. I'm not going. I'm going with Jesus. I'm going with the great Holy Ghost. You can go where you got to go. You can do what you got to do. Directly, we'll be at the end, and we'll see. Well, and you looking at one hammerhead, it's good with that. I was over yonder in Warren, Ohio the other day in First Assembly of God. There was one of those, I forgot the name of them. They dress all in black and they devils. They worship the devil. They are from hell. All of them. And he's standing there and he's just as defiant as anything I've ever run into in my life. And I ask him, do you want Jesus? Donna? I said, I'll tell you what to do. Get out of my prayer line, devil. You want hell? Help yourself. You need somebody to beg you? It's not going to be me. These women in halos going, that's dying, that are good people that need the Holy Ghost. Well, what about his soul? What about it? I was right. Brother David, you got to love them. No, you do. While you're sipping on Starbucks. And you compromising with them. And all of you's going to hell. Because I'm going to tell you why. Look in Genesis 19. Somebody read for me verse 24. Anybody? Isn't that funny? Do you know what that says there? That's the first time that the word fire is mentioned in the Bible. Go search it out. I already did. What does that represent there? Judgment. Don't it? It's judgment, isn't it? Why? Was it happenstance? Nothing heaven does is happenstance. See, y'all want it to be, and he blessed them all with cloven tongues of fire. That's Acts chapter 2. That's hundreds of fires later. Very first time fire is mentioned is Genesis chapter 19, verse 24. Now, let's go look at the last time. Y'all good so far? Y'all are starting to get a little quiet on me now. You will, especially after you read this one. Revelations 21. That's the second to the last chapter in the Bible. Revelations 21. Does anybody in here have the courage to read verse 8? Y'all's Bible say that? Similar, depending on your version. That's the last time fire is mentioned. What is that for? What does that stand for? What does that mean? That also is judgment. Well, coincidentally, you think? It's not coincidental. It's not coincidental. The very first time the word fire is mentioned in the Bible, it's judgment. Sodomites destroyed. Very last time fire is mentioned in the Bible, Sodomites are destroyed. Wow. But along with them comes cowards, idolaters, liars. Pretty amazing, huh? Are y'all amazed as I am? Where are we? Come on, theologians. Where are we between those two fires? Are we in front of it? In the middle? Behind it? Where are we? Man, y'all are real quiet now. We are in the middle. What does that mean? What does that mean? That means there's still an opportunity. Don't it? Don't it? Is that true or not? See, every time I start this teaching here, and I've only taught it like 6 or 7 times because it's serious. Everybody tells me they want it. We want the halo off our people. We want the backs not fused, healed. We want the strokes healed. We want rheumatoid arthritis healed. Okay, then let's bow to God's mercy in suspense, in anticipation, in wonder. Listen. Judgment. I'm not going to go any further than that. I don't want to. See, you got to have the anointing. And it's going to come through fire. You're not going to get it through happy. Happy is what we got a while ago when he was leading worship and it came in here. And it, man, it's awesome. And we have the time. You come from your jobs and the stress of life and you come in here and, man, you just exhaust yourself on heaven. And heaven just lifts you up and hits you with his mercy. And I'm not here to take that away. That's not why I'm here. I'm here to add to it. But you got to understand, it comes through judgment. You cannot walk a compromised life. You cannot walk an okay worldly life and walk in the power of heaven. You've got to be different. You've got to understand that judgment's coming. And we don't know how much time we've got. If you do, give me a date. Anybody? Oh, that's right. It's only reserved for God Himself to know that date, isn't it? But you figure you got time. You're figuring wrong. Because you don't know. We went to service a while back. I'm on fire. And I'm very calculated. I'm going to win. You know, it's not because I'm used to winning. It's because heaven don't lose. We went out in the afternoon. I don't remember what day because I preach every day. They're all the same. They're all Sunday to me. And we went out and got there, ate with the Indians, and I don't know, there were hundreds of them. Hundreds. Service started somewhere around 2 o'clock or 2:30 in the afternoon. Hot. Woo! We was dripping, man. It was well over 100 degrees. High humidity for us. It exhausts you. My shirts turn white with salt. Y'all been in that? Any of y'all remember ever being like that? Probably not. You're Americans, I know. I got tired at 3 in the night. And I took my wife and family, and we went up the hill to my truck because I had a tarp over my big old four-wheel drive. I unrolled some sleeping bags, threw them down in there, and got Miss Hogan as comfortable as possible. And me and the men stayed up because it had dropped below 90 degrees, and we was enjoying the cool. And we was hooting, boy. We was having fun. It was a good night, wasn't it, Brother Sean? We was laughing, and time was going on, and the brothers were still down there worshiping God all night long. I ended up with an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours max sleep. Got up about 5. Started singing. When I'm there, that's what we do. We worship Jesus. But Brother David, what about sleep? That's a nice luxury when you can get it. See, you demand 8-10 hours a day or you just can't make it. Especially without your 2 quarts of Starbucks on extra caffeine. I ridicule you. Because you don't even leave place for trusting the Holy Ghost. You got it so sorted out. And you are wrong. But I'm not mad at you, and I don't hate you. We're going to fix this. It don't mean putting Starbucks out of business. It means following Jesus. I'm not after Starbucks. I'm after Jesus. I just hated y'all stop there so much. If you spend as much time with Jesus, you'd be on the way. Something happened that I'm fixing to tell you about that is completely phenomenal. You can't get it living in judgment. You get it living in suspense. You hear the difference? And I'm not a judge. I'm not an authority. I just enjoy what I do. Whether it's in the Pentagon or on the mule, it's all the same. Do you understand? I don't know if you do. But it really does. That's todo sale igual. It's all the same. I rousted Miss Hogan up, and that's not the easiest thing to do. She's one of them people that likes to sleep. She's log. You throw her there, she just lays there. She's good for as many hours as I'll let her stay there. But I reached and get her. Come on, Ms. Hogan. We got to lead. We can't sleep. Leaders don't sleep. They seek souls. I can't do it. I know. You've already proved it. You're right. I can't. I've already proved it. Because I'm in suspense at what heaven's fixing to do next. What you reckon he's going to do next? I don't know. But I'm in. But Brother David, people hurt my feelings and politicize and begrudge. Yeah, they do, don't they? I hate it being a human, don't you? One day I'll be over mine. I'm working on it right now. But it hurts. That's because you let it. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. They won't follow you. If you follow Jesus. Miss Hogan was over here with the ladies. She had a few hundred ladies. I had a few hundred men. 6:30 in the morning, we was worshiping God. They were seeking God and praying. And everybody was yawning, but we was on to heaven. The men and I were down here, and the women, we'd put this big tarp up, and they were under there. I don't know, a few hours went by, we were seeking God. I don't remember, 9 o'clock, I guess, they come down. And when the ladies come back and joined up, made the big service, the mass, again, something was there. And I thought it was the ladies. Because we're sitting there worshiping God, right? And here comes all these hundreds of women in. And this noise fired up. So I just figured it was women. So I walk over to Miss Hogan. Oh, that grace on y'all. I like it so much. I enjoy pestering the fire out of Jezebel. You have no idea. What's you ready? Let's do it. We'll see who gets ate by dogs and who worships Jesus. Shiatahni. Kalabata shite. So I walk up to Miss Hogan. Now Miss Hogan's a formidable person. I mean, she's a little bitty person, but she holds her own with me pretty good. A couple of weeks we'll be married 33 years. Good man. I'm not gonna be there. I'm gonna be in Europe. But I'll give her my word I'll be there in a couple of days, and then we're gonna have a big shindig. When I set the schedule, I don't ever put in birthdays. And see, y'all put y'all's birthdays and anniversaries and parties in first, and then you set Jesus around it. Well, my family, what about Jesus? You take care of Jesus, He'll take care of your family. That's right. And I walked over. I said, "What's this noise y'all got with you?" She just flat-footed, squared her shoulders. "It ain't us, it's y'all." There was these choir. I said, "Come go with me." Go see, I can't go out into the women without Miss Hogan leading me. So I went out there, followed her, looking for that racket. Didn't find it. It wasn't there. She was right. She turned around. All she said was, "See." So I went back over to the men again. I'm looking for it. Found out that what it ended up being was heaven. And heaven was in every cubic inch of where we was. There wasn't anywhere you put your ear that it wasn't. Now, I ain't been in many places like that. So I tried to get, you know how we are. I tried to get some musicians up on the thing to kind of go along. Soon as they'd stand in place, they'd all get knocked out. Bam. After two bands, I said, "We don't need a band." Something was fixing to happen. And I want you to know, one of the best, if not the best, services I've ever been in my life. The fire of God hit us all. There were piles of humans everywhere, knocked out by the Holy Ghost. I was holding on to a rafter, a bamboo rafter, watching. I was so drunk, I was doing everything I could to hold. People were holding on to my clothes. We were stacked up like kindling wood. And we got lit on fire. Now, during the middle of this thing that's going on, God's there singing. He enjoyed what we did. He came to join us. But when heaven comes down, the flesh cannot tolerate His presence. He is power. He is holy. Power. He is amazing. I looked out in that crowd, and there was a man standing there. Never seen this in my life. I was hanging on, wobbling. And there was a man standing there. His face was it? I don't. Seemed like it was the left side. Was eat off. Cancer had come up and eat off his face, and his eye was bulged out, his teeth and muscle. He could see it. He's dripping, and he's looking at me. All right? And I'm drunk. And the fire of God and God singing. What do you do? Come here. And the faceless man. Boy, look how quiet y'all done got now. I put him in my bosom and held him. And his poison was dripping all over me. There is no thing to fear. That man got born again. That man right now, stand up and tell him. Just tell him. You know, just tell him.
He's totally healed. That's awesome. He's got his face back and everything. Yep.
You can live in judgment. You can live with second best. You can live with third best. Why not just go ahead and live with fourth and be done with it? Compromise all the way. I'm a big league player. I play for keeps. Because also in that service, I'm holding on. Got goo on me now. And I look out there past the crowd. And sitting on the log is a family. Their very first time to ever go to church. They think all church is like what we were having. It should be. We block it. We get tired. We stop working. We stop being in suspense and expectant. We choose to put it in a lower gear and run off the interstate. Not me. I tore my shifter out and threw it out the window. I'm in the fast lane, and I put a brick bat on the accelerator. We're going to just see what happens. Brother David, you truly have lost your mind this time. No, I've lost yours. We're truly gaining the mind of Christ. And it's really legal. Because sitting out there on that log was a mama holding a toddler. What was she doing? She is what? And when I saw that little baby, shaved head, railroad tracks where all the surgeries have been, mongoloid, spinal bifida, this is what I did. Bang and say. You couldn't hear me, but I'm locked with the mama. Bang and say. I'm hanging on. My wife comes up, the whole family. They've never been in a church at all. This is the first service. She hands that baby to me, and I forgot to pray. Never did pray. See, y'all's opinion, which of course it's valid, I can tell. God can't work if you don't do it the way we've been taught. You bet. God can do what God wants to do, whether you're there or not. And whether you agree or not. Whether you understand or not. Whether your elders understand or not. It don't make any difference. It matters that Jesus is king. That whole family got born again. That little baby. Stand up and tell them about it. Yeah.
After the family got born again, then the baby got healed also. And the guy with the face. They're all healed. Everybody got healed. Okay.
Come on! You want the power of God to the next generation?
That's right.
And you got to show them how.
That's right. That's right.
You hear me? You hear me? Nothing can slow us down and stop us.
That's right.
Nobody has enough politics and doubt and unbelief and money and influence and power.
That's right.
Isn't that something? Mongoloid healed. Spinal bifida healed. Faceless man healed. And that ain't all that happened. After a while, I was very drunk. And it dawned on me that I was hungry. This is the worst thing for y'all. Y'all just can't tolerate me being a human. Guarantee you half of your, no, three quarters of you will stop somewhere along the way on the way home. Just grab a real quick bite. That's because you're hungry. Duh. I left God singing and the Holy Ghost healing and because I wanted something to eat. Brother David, that's nuts. No. No. You living in judgment and you pretty. And you think you got it all figured out, but everybody around you's dying. Somebody's wrong, and it's not me. And we're going to fix that. We're going to get ourselves in suspense. That's what we're going to do. In expectation. Because we went up there and I was so drunk I couldn't hit my mouth with them tamales. Oh, man. I'm a little wobbly, I might sit down in a minute. Y'all still hear me all right? While we was up there trying to eat, the Holy Ghost wasn't nearly about finished with that service. He was doing it by himself. See, y'all all think I'm exaggerating. I'm not. We is up there eating tamales. And come running out of the cornfields and down the little old dirt roads. Man, oh man. People started running in and falling down and crawling to the altar and getting born again by themselves. You say you want that. You say you need that kind of power. You say that you can have it. I say I agree with you. But you can't have it living in judgment. You got to get out of judgment and into expectation. I was over yonder in New Hampshire the other day. And I was preaching, this pastor jumps up. You know what he said? I never will forget this. I'll preach this the rest of my life. He said, fire is right. It just matters on which side you're standing. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 24, our God is a consuming fire. Exodus 34, 14, our God is a consuming fire. Hebrews 12, 29, our God is a consuming fire and a jealous, passionate God. Now, I don't care if you want what I'm saying or not, but I know that some of you are real. That's who I'm after. The ones of you that long for those kind of things that I've been talking about. That you've been on a trail a long time and you haven't seen a whole lot of fruit. And you're starting to wonder about that trail because there's been lots of opposition. That's the right trail. That's the fire trail. That's the Holy Ghost trail. That's the anointing trail. That's the soul's trail. That's the healing trail. Would y'all please stand up? That's all I'm going to say. I got a whole bunch more to say, but I'm going to stop right there. I'm tired. I want to pray for a few minutes. Because I am one hammered joker. It is not my fault. Brother Noel, did I say that right? Noel. It's Spanish Noel to me, but Noel. You can choose one of your musicians. Help yourself. Who? Laura. Is it Miss or Mrs.? Miss Laura. Come up here, please. Now then. You know, some things are important in life. Can I show you one? Can I show you something that's important? I was in service the other day. And a little old 9-year-old boy made me a present. Look at that little fish. As long as I preach, it'll be in my Bible. For the rest of my life. Some things should be important to you. You're supposed to be heroes to the next generation. This is what we're going to do, Brother Noel. Hey, listen to me. We're going to go ahead and drift off in the Holy Ghost away. He's all right. We're going to start with the blood of Jesus and go to the name of Jesus. And then from there, listen, ain't nobody here. We're going for Jesus. Okay? You good?
Yes.
Thanks. You good, Miss Laura? All right. Y'all help yourself for a few bars. Let's worship Jesus a minute, y'all, please. Oh, Don't know Jesus, or you feel backslid in your spirit, come right now. Courage, great Holy Ghost. You boys want Jesus? Son, you want Jesus? You want Jesus? You don't know Jesus, come. Both y'all listen to me. Y'all looking at me? Don't be cool with me. I don't play games. You understand? You need Jesus, ma'am? I need some people standing behind these folks, please. You need Jesus, ma'am? Just let me hold you in a minute. See, on my hands is oil. It'll wash off. Okay? It's all right. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Don't resist. We're going to let heaven touch us. I want you to pray with me. Say, Jesus, please. I need you, Jesus. And I ask for your grace. Thank you. see your hands up. Say, Jesus, I need you. Please. I'm in the great Holy Ghost with you, son. Don't you be afraid. You understand? Fire! See your hands up. It's all right. You're doing all right. I am a soldier, son, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as long as you've got to be here in faith, say this, Jesus. I need you. Please, help me. In Jesus' name, I want you to help me. Fight! Stay with me, son. Stay with me. Anybody else? Please. Pray, church. Come on now, stay with me. Come on. Of heaven. If you don't know Jesus, or you backslid your spirit, come right now, come. You don't know Jesus, come. Or you're backslid your spirit, you come. Thank you.
you want the compromise out of your life, I want you to come.
So.
If you're sick in your body, incurable diseases come. They're going to line you up. And ushers, you know what you're going to do. Center aisle only. Please. Incurables. And you are ready to cut the compromise. Holy Ghost. Do you want the fire of God? Do you want the healing power of heaven? We start tonight. Brother David, I've been born again 25 years. So what? I've been there 35. I'm starting tonight. Tonight's my night. I was in Altoona, Pennsylvania a few days ago. Vice President Cheney was holding a rally a mile from us. We was holding another rally a mile from him. There was a man come up there with a crutch, with a walking cane. And I asked him, what's the matter with you? And he said to me, I don't know. I can't remember what the problem is. Laid my hands on him in the name of Jesus. Watch him. Hang on to her. Give me an usher behind her, please. You're doing great. Who are you to her? Friend? Stay right there, friend. You're doing great. The next night, he came up to me, this older man. He was in his high 80s. He said, I got you a present. And I just looked at him. He hung his cane on my arm. He said, I don't need that anymore. Isn't that something? Watch me. Fire of God! Isn't it amazing how the power of God is? The power of God is just a phenomenal thing. This here needs to be filled up with people right here. You got another plan in mind or something? Put some folks in there. Make sure there ain't a hole anywhere. All y'all down this middle aisle, listen to me. Which side you want, left or right? Right side? I'm going to be on the left side. He's going to be on the right side. Whoa. I might not be. But Jesus is. Go ahead, name out of it what you're going to ask for. Out of your mouth, I mean. Sorry. I'm a little twisted. Go ahead. Name it out of your mouth. Everybody. 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 We're all important. Everybody. Come on. Come on. My son-in-law gonna need a few ushers over here, and I'm gonna need a few over here. There's gonna need to be a few out everywhere working. Y'all ready? Man. Please. I do this every day of my life. No resistance, please. We're gonna flow in the great Holy Ghost. We're gonna let the power of God come in here. It's not that you can stop it. But you might not want it for yourself, but you can just leave. The rest of us want Jesus.
Are y'all ready? Be healed. All ushers with your eyes open. All ushers, eyes open, watching. Be healed. Fire! Holy fire!